Would you like to hear three simple things you can do when you're talking with a prospect to help you get the most mileage you can out of a call? Every morning at 8:30 Eastern, I go live on LinkedIn, and this is a recording of today's LinkedIn Live. I think you're going to enjoy it. Everybody, welcome back. Bill Caskey Live. Bill Caskey Live. It's Caskey Live. Anyway, glad to have you here today. 8:30 every day, unless I miss a day. But I don't plan on missing any days because I want to talk to you. If you have any comments, make sure you leave them in the comment section here. I know we're on YouTube and LinkedIn and a couple other platforms to remain nameless. Today, I want to talk about three moves you can make that are easy to make that will make a world of difference in your meetings that you have with people. Because I know that in the Million Dollar Seller Program that I always promote on this, Million Dollar Seller Program is a digital coaching program that we offer. You can find out more at BillCaskey.com/Million Dollar Seller. Answers the question, how do I scale my income without burning myself out? If you're in professional sales today, that might be something to check out. One of the things we talk about in there is the analog portion of your success. So when you think about leveraging yourself, and you think about how do I take what I'm doing right now and get more out of it, you will see here. Let's see if I can get the light on. You will see at the very bottom there is analog. And that is all. Those are all the things that you do every day anyway, making calls, having appointments on, Teams or Zoom, going out and seeing people, traveling, making presentations. I mean, all those things are analog. You can't digitize those things. You have to be there. And one of the things that we believe is an asset for you is the meeting that you have with people, whether it's, again, could be a first phone call, could be a Zoom call or face-to-face. So how do you leverage that? How do you get the most out of that meeting so that at the end of it, you have squeezed the orange so hard that you're getting all the juice out of it? You're not leaving anything on the table. I'm not talking about being aggressive here. I have nothing to do about that. This is about communication of your message. Are you communicating in a way that will help the customer buy? And if you are, but if you're not, we got to help you. So that's what I want to talk about today, are three what I'll call analog moves that you can make in the sales, in conducting yourself in the sales process. A couple of these, you may say, I already do that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Everybody always says, I already do that. Sometimes I'll role play with a company, and most of my work is with companies, sales teams, or individuals, and I'll say, okay, let's role play that. And then they'll role play, and they won't do it. And then I'll say, why didn't you do that? Well, I usually do. I do that on a sales call. I just chose not to do it here because I didn't want to embarrass anybody in the room just to how great I am. Okay, good. So if you do it, great. If you don't, great. Number one, I want you, when you're first talking to somebody, and this is something that sounds so simple, and so few people do it. And that is acknowledge. Acknowledge the other human being on the other, let's just call him your prospect for this situation. Acknowledge them. Instead of just, hey, I'm glad we're able to get together today, say something nice about them. Say something about the situation that you're in. Something like, hey, before we start, I just want to acknowledge you for taking time out of your schedule. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about some of the issues that you have. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate it. And I'm hoping that I can bring value today. Don't fall all over yourself with gushing. Oh, you're so great. It's so nice of you to meet little old me. No, it's just acknowledge. Acknowledge the fact that these two people, you and them, have come together and are talking about things and seeing if they can bring value to each other. That's a huge move. Nobody does it. Nobody does it. When's the last time somebody acknowledged you like that when you were the buyer and they were the seller? It might have happened. It might have, but probably not. You know where it does happen? In nonprofits and where there's, it's an emotional, like a mortuary, if you're setting up a funeral, or a nonprofit, if the person, if they're raising money for, you know, harmed kids or something, there's a deep appreciation for you as a potential donor. But in sales and in business, it escapes us. So first thing is acknowledge people and acknowledge them before you start, not at the end, before you begin. Okay, number two analog move is I want you to fully discuss the call that's about to happen. So you are on a call. Let's just say face-to-face. We love face-to-face calls. Face-to-face. And you sit down and they invite you into their office. Hey, how's it going? You want some coffee? No, it's okay. I'll have a beer though. And it's time to start. I want you to fully explore what's about to happen. We call it a mutual agreement, whatever you want to call it. Most people don't do this. They just get right in. Well, tell me, why am I here today? Or tell me, what are your biggest problems? Do you mind if I take notes? Oh, okay. You don't mind if I take notes? Okay, I'm going to take some notes then. No. Start with an upfront understanding of what's this all about today? What are we doing here? And how will we know it's successful? And what would you like to tell me? And what I tell you? Just a mutual understanding of what's about to happen. So if you have 60 minutes set aside for a call, then one good thing to do up front is to say, look, we're going to be together for about an hour, as I understand it. You still good with that? Yeah, I'm good with that. All right, good. Here's what I thought we could do. I'd like to tell you a little bit about our company. I want to hear your story. And then I'd like to ask you some questions about some of the things that you have going on here. What might have prompted this meeting? I'll share with you how we work with companies. And then at the end, we can decide if it makes sense to continue and have another meeting or not. Sound okay? Does that sound good? Yeah, it sounds good. What have you just done? In 45 seconds, I think that took about 45 seconds, you have crafted the map for the meeting. You are the guide as a sales professional today. You are the guide. You're the one that's going to take them to the promised land. If you don't believe that, get out of sales or get out of the business you're in. If you don't believe you can truly solve someone's problem and take them to a place they couldn't get on their own, if you don't believe you can do that, get out. You're not going to make any money. You're going to be sad. I don't want you to be sad. Or if you don't believe that now, get to believe that. Become fully invested in how do I believe that I can take someone to the promised land? Like in my business, when I talk to a company and I start to ask questions and I start to understand what the lay of the land is, it doesn't take me long to decide for myself, can I take them to the promised land? Can I take them really to another level? Now, just because I can take them there doesn't mean they want to go there. That's the biggest problem is them, not me. Meaning, sometimes people say, oh, I want my salespeople to be a lot better. You've had this probably when you've gone out and sought out coaching. Like, oh, I need some coaching. And then the coach says, well, here's what's going to happen. You have to do 100 jumping jacks every day. Like, whoa, hang on. I got a bad ankle. My foot kind of hurts. And I don't always do well in the morning with jumping. You're going to have all sorts of freaking excuses. I've heard them. I've given them. I know their excuses because I've used them before. So you've got to make sure that you have a mutual understanding. And when you do, everything gets cleaner in the sales process in that first meeting because you've taken all the pressure away. I don't want pressure. I don't want them to feel pressure. I don't want to feel pressure. Pressure is not good. I mean, we always say, oh, we work well under pressure. No, you don't. You don't. What you work well under is a safe environment where two people can come together and have a discussion and be honest with each other without any kind of a burden over their head of like, well, when's he going to close me? If I tell him too much, he may raise the price on me. You don't want that. Why would you want that? And I know some of you are like huge testosterone sellers. You're like, oh, I want to beat the hell out of the customer. Okay, good. Go for it. Disconnect here. I don't want you on this. All right, number three. Number three, and feel free to leave a comment. I know we've got a few people on. It's good. We get a lot of people throughout the day. We had almost 1,000 people yesterday watch this. All right, number three, third analog move that I want you to make that I think is going to make all the difference in your sales process. I get into this in the $1 Million Seller. And again, as I said, the $1 Million Seller is a digital coaching program that you can find out more at BillKasky.com/$1 Million Seller. But I get into this idea of the offer. You know, when you watch a commercial on TV for knives, let's just say, what was his name? Billy Mays. He didn't do knives. Who did knives? Well, I don't know who did knives. I guess it was, who was the big infomercial guy? Ron Popeil. Ron Popeil did a lot of things. He did like Vegematic and stuff like that. But anyway, you watch that and you're clear about what the offer is. The offer is you buy these six knives and you get three free. And if you call within the next 5 minutes, you get 17 more free. And it comes with a free sharpening every month. Somebody, Ron, shows up at your house and sharpens these things. You understand that's the offer. So what am I paying for? I'm paying $100 to get the offer. So that's what an offer is. You have an offer in your business. It is working with you. That's the ultimate offer. So if I buy something from you, I want to know, what's included in that? Is it include a free car wash occasionally, or does it include dusting, or does it include a lollipop for the kids? What does it include? I know you're... SaaS product probably does not include lollipops for the buyer's kids. Maybe it should. It's not a bad idea. So what? That's the ultimate offer. The problem is that in a complex sales process where you're having several meetings with people, maybe two or three of them and two or three of your team, and then there's analysis, and it goes on. It can go on for a few weeks or a few months or a few years. You have to have offers set up along the way. It's not that they're going to be paying money for these offers like they do your ultimate offer, but they are going to be saying yes to this. So the way I look at offers is anything that the customer and you are going to say yes to. And I call that the next step offer. Here's an example of this. I was on a call yesterday with a company that sells business services, we'll just say. And it's a fairly complex system. In other words, they have to get information from the customer to analyze their business before they propose anything. And it's pretty standard in the industry. And so my client will have a first call with a customer and they will talk about generality. You know, tell me what you're trying to accomplish. What's your business? Tell me about your situation, your needs, your, you know, some of your numbers at a high level. And that call is usually about 30, 45 minutes. It's a very specific call. They're very good at this. Then the next call is usually some sort of analysis call where my client goes back, looks at the numbers, crunches them, sends them over to the people who do this all day. They crunch numbers. And they then come back with a proposal. Well, the problem is that there was a lot of fallout between call one and call two. So for every 100 people they had on call one, they would only get 20, 25 to actually book call two. They would get things like, well, you know what, we're not ready to make a decision right now, or they would just not show up for the call, and then you'd try to call them and they're crickets and they would ghost you. So they were having a lot of trouble with that second call. So I started to hear what they were doing on the first call, because you don't want to start the second call if you don't have a good technique on the first call. And so what they were telling the people from this first call is, look, sounds like there's a fit here. Why don't we get together next Tuesday at 3 o'clock or whatever the time is, and let's go a little bit further into this. I said, let's go a little bit further is not a next step offer. There's nothing for the customer to sink their teeth into with go a little bit further. I know that the CEO of the company recommended this language, and, you know, 20% is not bad. I mean, they were doing okay, but man, it should be a lot higher than that. So we changed their next step offer, and here's what we changed it to. I said, here's what I want you to say at the end of this first call. It sounds to me like there is interest in moving to step two. Is that the way I do I read that right? And the customer would say, yeah, that's right. So then here's what I propose we do. I think we should meet next week. I think two of your people should join you. And let's just say we know who those two people are. I'm going to have my operations people on the call. Let's shoot for five or six people. And here's what I'd like to do on that call. I'd like to get a sense from your people as to what they expect and what their perspective is on these problems that you and I just talked about. Two, I'd like to have my team share with your team how we work specifically, not just at a high level, but at a detail level. Third, I'd like to leave some time for Q&A in the last 10 or 15 minutes because I know there's going to be questions that arise, come up. And then fourth thing is you and I can meet after that and decide what the next step is, whether it's to do an agreement or whether it's to have another call or whether it's to talk to somebody else inside the company. We can decide what that next step is. How does that sound? Now, the person who I'm talking to is crystal clear on what's going to happen on that call. If they're saying no, or if they just don't show up, they're going to miss all that. That's what you're not even selling the end result. You're selling the next call. Because if they don't get to the next call, they don't get to the end result, and you don't either. So when I talk about the next step offer, I want you to become crystal clear with your prospect about what the next step looks like. Think of it as a sale. It's a sale within a sale. Again, if you don't want to go to the next call, don't go to the next call. I'm not saying sell people on the next call or convince them to go. If after the first call you say, this is not my guy, I mean, this is not perfect for us. They don't have any problems. They're unwilling to share anything. The person was kind of stiff and held back. I don't want to deal with this. I've told people that after a first call, if they're not willing to share information with me that I need to figure out whether we're a fit or not, I don't need that. I'm too old for that. And you are too, even if you're 30, you're too old for that. Don't deal with people who aren't willing to give you information. Now, if you screwed up that upfront part, which was my point number two, then that's on you, not on them. Okay, so that's the next step offer. That's a way for you to talk about what the next step is. And I know we always hear about clear future. What's the clear future? Typically, we think of a clear future as a date and time in the future that we're all crystal clear about we're going to meet. That's half of it. But what are we going to do when we meet? I've told a story before that my mother-in-law passed here before Christmas, and my wife is the executor of her estate. And it's not a huge estate, but it's significant enough. And there's four siblings total. So, you know, sibling thing, sibling rivalry. But everybody's cool. Everybody's really cool. But the problem is that nobody's really there to tell people, well, here's the steps. Here's the steps of the process. Now, I thought it would have been the accountant, her accountant, my mother-in-law's accountant, or maybe her attorney, or maybe her financial planner. Nobody was there. So we're trying to figure out, well, what's step number one? Death certificate. What's step two? I don't know. Maybe call the accountant. So we were flying blind. Now, we downloaded some things online, but wouldn't you have thought that one of those people would have had, I mean, they have people, this one guy has like 1,000 clients. I know there's clients that die probably every day. And so why didn't he, in this case, it was he, have a sheet that said checklist, 30-day checklist after the death of a loved one, or estate planning checklist? But nobody has it because nobody thinks process. I want you to think process. I want you to think step by step by step. When you do that, you're going to look around and you're going to have people following you. So if you want to get your closing rate from 15% to 70%, which it should be, you should be closing 70% of the deals you propose. Now, you may not be proposing as many, but we'll talk about that later. But I do want you to get clear on that those three things. So number one, analog move is acknowledge the call. Just a simple acknowledge. It takes you 10 seconds. Number two, a mutual agreement. What's this call going to look like? And three, if there is a next step, I want you to have an offer. I want you to think about this more like you're selling an offer, like you're explaining an offer, explaining what's going to happen on the next step. I think you'd be surprised at what happens. So if you, again, if you want to go to $1 million seller, if you're inclined, if you want to grow your business, scale your business and don't have anybody around that can help you. I would love to help you. $1 Million Seller. It's a 12-week program, and it is actually, I'll even tell you the fee. It's $297 for 12 weeks, and that's It's not $297,000, and it's not $2.97. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Love to hear your comments on LinkedIn too. If you have any thoughts on today, see ya. Bye.